Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
We're going to have some fun today. It's going to be good.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here with all of you and to be preaching with Ryan this morning. And we want you guys to know that we don't think we're experts in relationships, that we got it all figured out. But by the grace of God and hard work, Ryan and I will be celebrating 10 years of marriage this summer.
Now, some of you are like, talk to us when you hit 20 years. But still, we're excited about 10.
Yes, Ryan's been calling it the decade of love. So that's been a theme for it. But we thought it'd be fun to kind of give you guys an insight of us when we were dating. We want to show you guys a picture when we went on our first date in Nevada a little over 11 years ago. So if you want to check it out.
All right, check this out. There we are. You can barely see it. That looks
so
like
blurry.
Security footage, you know, like we get a screenshot. Cameras have changed a little bit over the last few years, and you can barely see it in the room. Maybe you can see it better online, but I look like I'm 10 there, maybe 13, and I got the deep V-neck. Y'all see that guy? And you can't tell. It's purple. You got to be a secure man to be able to wear purple. But that's they have this circus in one of the casinos there in Nevada. And
we weren't
gambling,
Nevada.
But she was just showing us the different sites. Like Nevada and Texas are just a little bit different. I joke with people, Nevada's like Texas in reverse. You know, in Texas, we got a church on every street corner. In Nevada, there's a casino on every street corner, even right when you get off the airplane. But yeah, that's us just a little over 11 years ago.
That's us.
All right.
Well, all right, so today we're in the last part of our message series that we entitled It's Complicated. And the message for today, the title is Break Up With Fairy Tales.
Would you write that down? Break Up With Fairy Tales. And I think this is the perfect place to start because even in church, unfortunately, and people would never admit this, but unfortunately there's a lot of adults that their relationships actually look more like fairy tales than they do what God says in his word. And so we got to break up with that. In fact, I thought of a few examples. As most of you know, if not all of you, we got 3 young kids. I talk about them every single week. But in particular, we've got 2 young daughters. And so we watch, you know, all the Disney movies and even, you know, the old ones, Cinderella, Beauty. Yeah, you read that last night. Beauty and the Beast, all that kind of stuff. And they're great. But how many of you know those aren't real life? Those are fairy tales, and they are meant to entertain us. But what happens sometimes is what we watch is what we learn, and we end up living a certain way. So I got a couple examples of this. Y'all know most, especially the old school Disney movies, a lot of them, the couple, they have one problem they're trying to overcome, right? One big obstacle. One big mountain that they're trying to climb over. And then finally, when they get past that one thing, it's the reason why you're watching the movie. When they get past that one thing, what's it say at the very end? Then they lived happily ever after. Again, that's not real life. How many of y'all know when you face something in your marriage or relationship, there's something else you face probably even right after that. It's not one and done. And so we got to break up with this mindset, really this fairy tale mindset, that we're going to have one issue and then we should be good. In fact, I wrote it down this way. Happily ever after is not a destination. It's a journey. Come on, who's been married for a few years? And you would say, yes, it's a journey. Like you can still be happy even in marriage struggles and you can still continue to press forward together. Another one I thought of, like what else happens in a lot of the old school Disney movies, is you have Prince Charming trying to rescue the princess, right? And like, oh, he's trying to save her. You know, he's the knight in shining armor. He's going to slay the dragon. Like, how many of y'all know, in fact, I know too many people that do this, but there's some people that they think they're Prince Charming and they're just trying to rescue somebody. Like, they think they're called to do the saving. In fact, you look at their history of relationships, and it's all these people that are really got some issues. Like, well, I'm going to be the one to save them. Well, if I could just work on them for a couple of years, then how many of y'all know we're not Jesus?
Yeah.
We were never meant to save anyone. In fact, Jesus does all the saving. And really, it's one whole person plus one whole person equals one. It's bad math, but really good theology, okay? One plus one coming together to equal one. One more. Oh, I forgot to say this. By the way, I want to commission you right now. I did this in first service. No more missionary dating in Jesus' name. Can I get a witness? Can I get an amen? Like, what's that? That's where you date someone trying to convert them, you know, over to Christianity. Can I tell you that they'll come to church for a while, but they ain't really trying to get close to Jesus. They want to get close to you, okay? And so yeah, you got one story, a third cousin removed, you know, that she dated him and she got him to come to church and he really did get, you know, saved and just on fire for God. But that's one story out of like a billion others where it didn't work, okay? So just want to encourage you in that. Last one, another problem with fairy tales is this idea of love at first sight. I saw her, Pastor, and angels were singing. The birds were chirping, like the birds were chirping, and I heard a voice from heaven, this is thine bride, you know, and like, we think that we're just going to have this, like, fairy tale, I saw them, and they, you know, I knew, they saw me, and they knew, like, how many of y'all know, it's not just about the looks on the outside, what's going on the inside really matters, like, it really does, and so, just want to encourage you, like, guys, like, you need to see her, like, how she handles stress. Like not just how she, like, first date, second date. Like, we're putting our best foot forward for a while. It takes you about a month or two to get through to the real person. And so how do they handle stress? And ladies, let's get real practical. You need to know his credit score. Like, just tell him, my pastor told me I need to know your credit score. Like, you need to know. Like, that kind of stuff matters. Like how you looked at 22, you're not going to always look that way. And so for us, the most important thing was are they on fire for Jesus? Not do they go to church, you know, that kind of, no. Like, are they in love? Are they passionate when it comes to their relationship with Jesus? The truth is, we are all fighting gravity and we are losing. Think about it for a moment. Think about it. Like we're losing. And so you can't just focus on, now the outside matters. Like, you should be physically attracted. By the way, you look so good. I know it's awkward. You're like, he's flirting with her on the sorry, but like, you do. But like, the outside matters, but it's not most important. So the idea today is that if we don't break up with fairy tales will actually break us down. We've got to get back to the Bible. Amen, somebody? Amen.
Amen. That's so good. So that leads us to the Word of God, which is our foundation for everything. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app, reach for it and turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're actually going to move around this chapter a lot during the message today because the Apostle Paul is talking here about marriage, he's talking about singleness and calling, and it's so powerful and practical. And honestly, chapter 7 is in the Bible because so many people from the church at that time were writing to Paul, asking him questions, big questions on relationships. And Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit, he gives some great responses that are extremely relevant for today. So before we get into the message, let's pray. So God, we just thank you so much for this morning, Lord. I thank you so much for every single person that is here, that it's not by coincidence that they're here, Lord. I just pray that our hearts and our ears just be open to receiving what you have for us today, Lord, through your word, God, because we know it doesn't come back void. And we just also just want to lift up the country of Ukraine. I know that's something that's been really heavy on our hearts, Lord, and we just pray for all the people over there, the men, the women, the children, God. We just pray your protection over them, Lord, for them to know that you haven't left them, but like it says in Psalms, Lord, that you are close to the brokenhearted, Lord, so we know that you're close to them, Jesus, and we just lift them up to you, and we pray for all the leaders and politicians, Lord, that they just look up to you for wisdom on what's the next step to make, Lord. We love you, and we thank you, God, that you're with us through all the moments in our lives, through the big, through the small, through the difficult moments in our lives. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you're with us. And we pray this all in your mighty name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So be it.
Amen. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we get our first point, which is when you get married, you lay down your rights. When you get married, you lay down your rights. So I'm going to read here chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, and it says, "Now regarding the questions you asked me in the letter, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations, but because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so that you can give yourself more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. Now, of course, the example that Paul is talking about here is intimacy in marriage, but really it refers to everything in marriage. So when we get married, you don't actually gain rights, but you willfully lay down your rights. So I remember when Ryan and I first got married and I moved into his apartment with him, there were a few things that we had to adjust as our lives were coming together. So Ryan had that minimal style, bachelor pad look down at his apartment. So, you know, there was nothing on the walls, no decor, anything like that. He used one of those, like, grocery bags as a trash can. And I'll give him props for this one because it was really creative. But you know those lids that come on the Frito-Lay's cheese dip? He used that as coasters for his table. It was pretty creative, though, but we got real coasters. So those were a few things, and of course, he just had one pillow on his bed.
Hold on one second about the pillows. I went from one pillow to about 50 pillows in our house now. Whatever. Like Mary and Meg, come on, can we just, like, let's just have a moment? Like, it's crazy. I did not know that you would have pillows that were just for decor. Like, you wouldn't actually use them. In fact, Mary and men, I guarantee you this happened last night and this morning. Before you went to bed, what did you have to do? You had to take all the decor pillows off of your bed and put them onto the floor, and then you slept. And then you woke up this morning, and what did you have to do? You had to take all those same pillows and put them right back on. Some of y'all even have storage for your pillows, okay, just so they're not on the floor. Like, I did not know. So if anybody needs a pillow, we have plenty. We can just bless your socks off here later today, but we got a lot of pillows now.
Yes, so obviously things started looking differently when I moved in. But I know those are more silly examples. But really, when you're married, we should share everything because we are two becoming one. We share and respect each other's families. We share and respect each other's cultures. I'm Hispanic and he's white.
You didn't know that, but yeah, spoiler alert, I'm white.
We share, you know, the same bank accounts, our passwords, we share it all. Because marriage isn't dividing everything in half, but it's giving everything you've got.
Come on, can y'all write that down today? Could you say that again, babe? That's so good.
Marriage isn't dividing everything in half, but it's giving everything you've got.
And so I just want to encourage you, for those that are married, if there's certain things that maybe you haven't joined together, like, it should all be together. Yeah. Remember, 1 + 1 = 1. And so she's got access to everything, like she said, and vice versa. The same bank accounts, the names, like, are what we own, everything. And so let's not just hold back just in case. No. Let's make sure that it's 1 + 1 = 1. And just one other quick thought here. I wrote down, I didn't share this first service, but I just want to encourage people that like she said, when we get married, we actually lay down our rights, and it's something we do willingly. It's something we do gladly. And so the idea, the best marriages out there is not how much can I take, it's how much can I give. It's not, hey, what have you done for me lately? You know, when are you going to get back, you know, doing this? You said you would do the dishes, but you forgot, you know, that. No. It's how much can I give? And the best marriages are when the couple, they are trying to outgive one another. Like, I want to bless you more, not to get, but just to be a blessing to you. So, so important. Here's the second point from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. For those that are brand new, we do Bible study every single week, so leave the Bible open if you brought one with you, and we encourage that, and we'll give you one for free if you don't have one. But 1 Corinthians 7 is where we're going to stick and stay. But here's the second point before I read some more. When you get married, it's a covenant, not a contract. And that's not just like semantics. That's a big deal. It's a covenant, not a contract. So still chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, but verses 10 through 11. And by the way, we're reading out of the New Living Translation. Here's what it says. But for those who are married, I have a command that comes not from me, but from the Lord. A wife must not leave her husband, but if she does leave him, let her remain single or else be reconciled to him, and the husband must not leave his wife. One of the great things, before we jump in a little bit deeper on this, one of the great things about the Bible that you need to know, and really about God, is that God has always, even when it wasn't culturally accepted, God has always been pro-women. Like, you need to know that. It's really important. You see, back in this culture, the men were kind of like the kings of the domain, and honestly, the culture of the day treated women and children kind of as, and not really kind of, like as second-class citizens. But that's not how God is. In fact, we are co-equals. And so, like, I want you to notice the end of verse 11, it's important that God added in there, and the husband must not leave his wife. So it's not like she's got all the responsibility. No, no, no. It goes both ways. Come on, can I get an amen from somebody? Like, that's really important that you get that. And so what Paul tells us, led by the Holy Spirit, as Isabel said, what he's telling us here is that God's best for people that are married is that we would stick it out. That we would stay. But we know, and in fact, this has been heavy on our hearts all week long, we know that's on everybody's story, and there's obviously different factors, and there are some occasions the Bible talks about based on what's going on, and maybe an affair, things like that. But still, regardless, the best, God's best for anybody who's married is that you would stick it out, that you would stay if you're able to. Obviously, you need to be safe and all of that, but that's God's best. And so God wants his best, but we also want God's best for you. And for others that maybe there has been a separation before, we're not trying to condemn you. Like, here's how you should take the message and really this point from this day forward. Let's not spend so much time and just, you know, guilt or no. From this day forward, we're going to live this way. And we know this is God's best, that we'd be fully committed in good times and in bad times. And this has always been a really big deal for Isabel and myself. Even before we were married, we were coached this way and taught this way, and we both have great examples of what a marriage should look like under God with her mom and dad and my mom and dad. And one thing that's been real big for us is that even with the words that we say to each other and around each other, we are very careful. We are very intentional. I'll give you one example, and it's going to sound extreme to you, but we care about our marriage this much. And here's what we don't say. We will never say the word divorce to one another. And so don't worry about the past. You know, this isn't like you to nudge your spouse. Hey, you hear the pastor. From this day forward, I'd encourage you to really prayerfully consider that. We don't say it in a joke. We don't say it in a sarcastic way. It is completely off limits. We don't want it even to be an option one day. And so that's how serious we take this. Remember, it's a covenant, not a contract. Y'all maybe heard me say this before, but I tell people all the time that if Isabel would ever leave me, I would tell her, that's great, honey. Where are we going? Because I'm coming with you. Like, seriously, like, that's just our mindset. We believe till death do us part. So she'd have to kill me to get rid of me. I love you so much, by the way. Just want you to know that. But that's how serious we take this. Now, one of the ways that we can stick it out in marriage, and again, that's God's best, that we would persevere and press on. One of the ways we can do that is realize that what culture has to say and movies and TV shows and music, it's wrong. Like, what it says about love. See, TV shows and music, they tell you that love is a feeling. Love is not a feeling, it's a choice. Like, it's a choice. It's a daily decision. Now, hopefully you feel that way more often than not, but even when you don't feel that, we make a daily decision to love one another. Now, being a pastor for over 10 years, I have different counseling sessions with people, and unfortunately, one of the statements I hear way too often in the church is this: well, pastor, I don't know what happened. We just fell out of love. And you've heard that before. That's in movies, TV shows, all that kind of stuff. Maybe you've even said that before. Well, I don't know what happened, but we drifted apart. We just fell out of love. But again, we've got to be careful, married people. We got to be careful of the words that we say, the phrases that we use. In fact, I'd encourage you to not talk like that. And even think about it logically. I'll give you an example of like a car. Like no one falls out of a car, you know, unless you had too much to drink and that's another issue, right? But like, you don't just, oh, I just fell out of my car. No. What happens? You make a decision to open up a door and step out of your car. Or, and this happens a lot, or somebody else opens up that door, but then again, you make the decision to step out of the car. So think about that with love. Like you didn't fall in love. You maybe said it that way, but it was a choice. And so you can't fall out of love. And it's the decision. I'm going to open the door and step out. Or God forbid somebody else opens in a door and you step out in an affair. And so change your wording. Change the things that you say. Love is a daily choice. It's a daily decision. In fact, and I just really feel this. There's maybe somebody in this room or maybe online that you're thinking about, you know, maybe the grass is greener, you know, in another relationship or, and not even just in relationships, but maybe job, you know, house, whatever. Can I just challenge you and encourage you at the same time? Let me coach you for a moment. The grass is greener where you water it. It is. And so you got to invest in your marriage. Like those of you that have been dating for a while and or married for a while and you stopped dating, you need to start dating again. It's a really big deal. And we've had challenges just with church and just life. And my mom and dad weren't always here. They moved here 2 years ago. And so having those people that can watch the kids if you got kids and her family's in Nevada. But still, even then, when we didn't have babysitters we could trust, like we did date nights at home. There's different, like, there's like a date night in the box thing that you can order. And once the kids are down, you just pray, God, may they stay asleep in Jesus' name. And then you have a date at home and, oh, I don't have enough money. Like, we just go to a park. Just go on a walk. There is no excuse. You need to continue to invest in the most important earthly relationship you could ever have. It's a big, big deal. The grass is greener where you water it.
Amen. That's so good. And the third point this morning is that you can be single and secure.
Yes.
So
yes, you can.
1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 says, "But I wish everyone were single just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another." And then a little bit further down in verse 32 through 34, it says, "I want you to be free from the concerns of life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities as how to please her husband." You know, a lot of time in church culture, I think that we might see singleness as a lesser thing compared to marriage. And that's just really just the wrong way of thinking of it, because we can see that clearly in the Bible, what it's saying about it. And also, there's not one that is morally better than the other, because singleness and being married both accomplish the work of God, God's purpose. And so I know Ryan talked about last week the infamous wallpaper story. I'm not going to get in on all that if you weren't here last week. But he shared his part of that story. And actually, that wasn't the first time that Ryan tried talking to me. So the first time he tried talking to me was when I was living in Dallas. And I was there for a good while. And I was actually there because I was doing like a program that was based doing like ministry and just taking some Bible classes and stuff there. And so during that time that I was in Dallas, I was just really focused on the Lord, and I made a commitment that I didn't want to date while I was there so I can just really focus in on what he had for me. And so Ryan didn't know that I had made this decision, so sorry, babe. But each time he tried reaching out, trying to talk to me, I would just kind of just stop that real quick from going anywhere, just because I really wanted to keep that promise, and I did. And so when I moved back to Nevada, I just remember that I had felt just so secure and so empowered in my singleness. And honestly, that was the first time I've ever felt like that in my singleness. And the difference maker was that I had a genuine relationship with the Lord, and I knew who I was in Christ, that I was whole in him. And that, is something that I know Ryan's mentioned before, but for both him and I, that when we are single, that's something that we both wanted, is to be two whole people coming together. So I want to encourage you that maybe if you're in a season of singleness, just to know that you can be secure in the Lord as you're following after him, and it is a gift in the season that you are in.
Come on, let that speak to your heart right now. And in fact, and I didn't share, y'all getting some extra stuff. We didn't share all this in first service, but I heard it this way, talking about relationships, and I think it's so powerful. Relationships don't complete you, they complement you. Like, you need to know that. Relationships don't define you, they develop you. Relationships don't control your life, they beautify your life. Relationships don't make you valuable, they add value to who you already are. And so church people, let's pick on us for a moment. Let's do better to not make it something that it's not, okay? They are both a gift from God. So single, single again, no matter what's gone on. And we need to not belittle one. And let's make sure that we honor people and that we encourage people. Amen, church?
Yeah. Amen.
All right, that leads us to the last point for everybody. So we've hit marriage, we've hit singleness, we're going to hit calling now. So this is for everybody. Point number four, no matter what season or your relationship status, number four, you need people to push you towards your purpose. And really, this is what Paul gets to. The Apostle Paul, this is what he gets to really when it comes to all of chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. We all need people to push us towards our purpose. Now, this isn't the very last verse of chapter 7, but it's towards the end. Here's what verse 35 says. I am saying all of this for your benefit. Not to place restrictions on you. This is so important. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best. Married, single, single again, this is the purpose. That you would serve the Lord the best with as few distractions as possible. So like Isabel said at the beginning, the church is writing in. They got all these questions. And by the way, some of you know this. You study your Bible a lot. Like, the area of Corinth and like what church people were coming out, like it was messed up. Like, you think our culture is messed up? You should do some research. Like, horrible sexual immorality. I mean, just nasty. Like, even stuff that culture would still say right now is bad was going on. And that may change one day because culture does change. But how many of y'all know God's word and God's standard doesn't change? But it was messed up. So they get all these questions. They're like, how do we do relationships right? And like you said, it's still so relevant. But after Paul does his best just to answer, of course, the Holy Spirit leading him, like he gets down to verse 35 and he's like, hey, no matter what the situation is, whether relationships are great, whether the season is difficult or challenging or not, your focus should always be, how can I best serve the Lord? So take that with you today. And one of the ways that you serve the Lord best is what Paul says here. Like, you need people. You need Pauls in your life. You need pastors in your life. You need church family in your life that can encourage you. Hey, you got to step this up. Hey, I love you too much to not mention this. Hey, that relationship, it's not drawing you closer to Jesus. Like it's pulling you away. We need people around us. In fact, I want to pastor you for a moment. Like, it's awesome that you're here. It's awesome. We got so many people in the growth and on. Like, that's great. But it's not just showing up and filling a seat for an hour and 5 minutes every Sunday. It's about getting into community together where you got pastors and men of God and women of God that can say, you know what? Like, I love you too much to not mention this, like truth in love, that I wanna help you. I wanna encourage, I've been there. Like, learn from me, you know, I made some mistakes. We all need that. So that's why you gotta get in a group, a connect group is what we call them. It's just a small group. That's why you need to serve. And I know what you're thinking, well, that's just self-serving, Pastor. You just want more. Yeah, of course, I want people to serve. I'm like, I'm not going to pretend I don't. But it is mutually beneficial. Because what happens when you just come in and I'm glad you're coming. If that's where you start, that's awesome. But it can't stay there, you know? Like you've got gifts and things that, like, your season and what's going on and what God's put on the inside of you. Like you are valuable. And so when you serve, you get to know other people and they get to know you. And not only your names, but what's going on. And if you both have kids, I mean, it's a really, really incredible thing. And it's what God has designed. In fact, please know this. A lot of you do, but not everybody does. The church is not a building. You didn't come to church. You came to the church service. But, like, this is not the... No. We are the church. People. And so you were not meant to do this life alone. In fact, you're missing out on so much. And so I know that takes risk and that takes investment. And maybe you've been burned before by a church or burned before by... I get all of that. Like, that's real. But as you pray and as you ask God to heal, like, you got to try again. You got to step out again. That's the way God has designed it. So no matter what season you're in, you can still ask God this question: God, how can I serve you best? And not just on a Sunday, of course, but just with your life, with your Monday through Saturday. God, how can I serve you best? Would you bow your heads with us? Isabel and I, we're going to stand up here, and we want to pray for some people. But you can bow your heads right where you are. If you're able to, online safely. God's doing something right now. I believe you can sense it, even if you're brand new to church. It's a special atmosphere. Isabel and I, we got two groups on our hearts, and Isabel's going to pray first. She's going to pray first for people that are single or single again. She's going to pray for you in the season that you're in, and that God would just rain down His grace, His love. Be reminded that you can be single and secure. Would you pray?
Yes, Lord, we just thank you so much for your word, God. Thank you, Jesus, just for the reminder of your love, God, for us in every season, Lord. And we just lift up all those, Lord, who are single and single again, that maybe they're single because of a divorce or maybe widow or just other things, Lord God. I just pray that in this season, for them just to see it as a gift from you, Lord, for them just to know that they can be secure, Lord, in this season with you by their side, Lord. And I just pray that, if there has ever been any hurt or pain, Lord, in the past from a relationship, I just pray your freedom, Lord, in their lives, Lord, and just your healing upon them, God, for them to be made whole, Jesus, in you, Lord, because that's the best that you have for them to be whole in you, Jesus. Lord, we just lift them up to you in this moment, Lord.
Yes. Keep your heads bowed if you can. I want to pray for those that are married. And in fact, if your spouse is with you here in the room or online, would you grab their hand right now? I want to pray over you, God. We pray over marriages represented in this house. We pray, God, that you would bless and encourage. We pray, God, even now, that the pains of the past, you would bring your healing, your anointing upon their marriage. We pray, God, that forgiveness would flow. God, we come against any root of bitterness in Jesus' name, in your name. And we ask for freedom. We ask, God, that you would make them whole as you're faithful to do. We pray, God, not only that, but as the two have come together, the one plus one equaling one, we pray, God, that you'd help them to walk in the power and the authority that you have upon marriage. We pray, God, that they would be better together. In fact, God, as we've talked about from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we pray, God, that you would give them the encouragement they need to stick it out, that they have a covenant before you. God, we pray, Lord, that they would realize it's not just what can I get out of this, but God, we gladly lay down our rights. It's how much can I give? How much can I invest? God, change our mindset. God, we break up with fairy tales. That's not real life. That's not your calling for us. There's a better way. God, help us to love each other selflessly. And God, we know we can only do that once we've received your love. And that's the last thing we want to pray for. It's so heavy on our hearts. God, I pray for anybody. We pray for anybody in this room or online that's far from you, that today would be their day of salvation. God, as we talked about last week, if we can get our vertical relationship right first, our relationship with you, then everything else will fall in line. But we start there. And so if there's anybody that's never given their life to you, or maybe they've just kind of walked away and they want to do a fresh commitment right now, this is their moment. Today is the day of salvation. And so I pray, God, they would take that step to put their faith, their trust in you. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would help, that you would step aside, and that you would save as you're faithful to do. In fact, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, the Bible makes it real clear in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, of how you commit your life to the Lord. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's our blueprint. The Bible makes it really clear. It's not complicated. So right now, you can whisper those things to him, and I'll coach you, but really, it's not about what you say. It's about your intent and your heart. You can whisper this to him: Jesus, I confess that you are Lord. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you raised from the dead. Jesus, I put my trust in you, that you are God, you are real. And I ask you, this is so important that you ask him this question: Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin, to save me, to rescue me. I can't save myself. I can't fix myself, but you can. You have the power and you have the authority. So right now, come in and make me whiter than snow. Make me new. Clean me up from the inside out. God, thank you. Oh, what an awesome moment this is. Thank you for those in the room and online that are saying that prayer, that are making that commitment to you. You hear them, you know them, their name is being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. And we believe this around here, that that is not the last step in the journey. That is not the finish line. This is the starting line as they run after you. Thank you, God, for what you've done today. We give you glory, and we ask all of this, and we pray all this in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.